Universal background checks may become law soon in Washington. Voters gave Initiative 594 a nearly 60% approval, and Initiative 591, the measure that would have prohibited checks beyond what the federal government requires, was defeated. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's group Everytown for Gun Safety put nearly $2 million into the effort to pass background checks, and they aren't stopping with Washington State. John Feinblatt is president of Everytown for Gun Safety. He says the next stop is
Nevada Secretary of State next week will receive signatures qualifying background check measure to go on the ballot in Nevada. What's so important about what happened in Washington State was that it demonstrated that the gun lobby can bully state legislators, but they can't bully the public.
John Feinblatt, president of Everytown for Gun Safety, big supporters of the successful I-594 measure. Dave Workman from the Citizens Committee behind the 591 campaign says background checks will not accomplish what advocates want them to.
People will expect something that they're not going to achieve. This isn't going to stop criminal violence. Bad guys do not go through background checks. They won't go through background checks.
How do Washington's new gun laws compare to those in the rest of the country? Kristen Goss teaches political science at Duke University. She says with the passage of I-594, when it comes to gun control, Washington is about as strict as they come.
Before last night, Washington State was tied with Minnesota in one popular ranking as the 12th strictest state in terms of gun laws. With the passage last night of I-594 and Washington State joining six other states in basically providing for universal background checks on sales of guns, Washington State should be in the top 10 states in terms of strict gun laws nationwide.
Talking with Duke University political science professor Kristen Goss, and if you're just waking up, Initiative 594, which would expand background checks for gun ownership, passed in Washington State. And Kristen, you just mentioned that it was interesting to you that it was an initiative, Direct Democracy, that passed this. How much support at the grassroots level does universal background checks have?
Well, that's one gun control measure that really enjoys high levels of support, and that's true across political party. It's true among gun owners and non-gun owners alike, and at least one poll suggests it's true of NRA members as well.
Former Bush speechwriter David Frum wrote in The Atlantic today that the passage of Initiative 594 is, and I'm quoting him, a historic rebuke to the NRA. Do you agree with that?
That's an interesting question. A historic might be a little bit overstating it, but it's absolutely true that the NRA has got a sterling record of legislative success. And I think there is the National Rifle Association and its pro-gun allies have done a really good job over the last 20 years of moving the country in the direction of suspicion of gun control and of support for gun rights as a general principle.
So essentially what you're saying is that we could both favor more gun control, but we worry what kinds of laws we actually put on the books, what those laws actually say?
I think that's exactly right. And it shows up in the polls. So there are a couple of polling organizations that have asked what we call a generic question about gun control. So one asks, should gun laws be stricter or less strict or stay as they are? Another one asks whether it's more important to protect gun owners' rights or to control guns. And both of those questions, even though they're different questions asked by different organizations, have both been trending over the last 20 years in the direction of the pro-gun framing of the issue. So, Americans are skeptical about stricter gun laws. And yet, if you ask about specific gun laws that would make our regime stricter, you see overwhelming levels of support.
It is worth noting that Washington State did have another gun measure on the ballot, one that would have prohibited the state from putting any gun control measures on the books that were stricter than what the federal government regulations imposed. That measure, I-591, got 40%, a little more than 40% of the vote. And it made us curious about the politics of guns at this moment in time.
It certainly has been an interesting couple of years. Sandy Hook really was a game changer in a lot of respects. It's interesting that Representative Gabby Giffords of Arizona was shot in the head and nearly killed. And what propelled her into gun control activism wasn't her particular incident, but it was Sandy Hook. The gun reform side had really been in sort of a lull, I guess, during a lot of the Bush administration, and Sandy Hook happened, and I've heard it described as 9/11 for mothers, and I think that was one constituency that really became galvanized and is showing no signs of letting up.
A lot of people were predicting here that the Marysville-Pilchuck High School shooting, just 35 miles north of where I'm sitting right now, galvanized some voters to come out in favor of I-594. You talked about Sandy Hook, Gabby Giffords. Is there any way to predict what will happen next as we move forward with either the NRA's position to make more liberal laws or people's move to want to have more restrictions on gun owners?
I think predicting what's going to happen with gun policy has historically proven extremely difficult. There are horrible mass shootings, high-profile attempted assassinations that produce no policy change. The near assassination of President Reagan in 1981, I think of the Aurora theater shooting, 70 people were shot, and nothing really happened. Sandy Hook, I think, is an example, as was Columbine and the shooting in Springfield, Oregon in the late 90s. Those are examples where organizations and advocates really did mobilize and succeed in pushing modest policy change. You know, my sense is that this is really going to come down a lot more to strategy and kind of internal organization and mobilization than it is going to come down to, you know, whether there's some sort of galvanizing event or not.
I can't help but listening to you think about how big issues such as gun control or gay marriage, same-sex marriage, have fallen to state-by-state referenda or legislative rulings to become enacted. In other words, in Congress, the action doesn't happen. And you mentioned that when it came to Sandy Hook. So will the fact that these kinds of laws are making inroads, gun control measures, as you said, now Washington's one of 10 states really on the forefront of gun control, will that message percolate up to the U.S. Congress at some point and that they will consider something?
Well, I think that's certainly possible. And if you study policy history, as I do, that's certainly been a fairly dominant model for all sorts of social reforms, said that the states are laboratories of democracy. And I think it's probably a healthy thing, actually, for policy experiments to take place at the state level. We see if they work. If they do work, we feel more confident in spreading them to more states and eventually taking them nationwide. I mean, we're a big, diverse country, and it's important that if we are enacting policy, that we're certain that it's going to be effective. And I think there's fairly good evidence that background checks are a provision that will actually save lives with a minimal burden to gun owners and would-be gun owners.
Kristen Goss is political science professor at Duke University. She's co-author of The Gun Debate, What Everyone Needs to Know.